Everybody? Excellent. Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you to the August 23rd, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance, are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right of way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. At this time, please turn off all cell phones. Everybody good? Thank you. There's nobody online? There's one person online? Wonderful. If you're calling us online, please remain attentive and mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each commission member must state their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves by name for the record? Robin?
Robin Williams.
Darren Bagley-Heath.
Kirsten Connor.
Virginia Mobley.
Kathy Leadbeinock.
Mae Boley.
Rebecca Fenwick.
Jeff Nutrica.
Pam Miller.
Terrific. Thank you. Signposting. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month?
No, ma'am. Not properly posted, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
We actually don't have any.
Okay, sorry. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion that we adopt the agenda for August 23rd, 2023.
Robin Williams, second.
For the vote?
Robin Williams, yes.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nutrica, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Thank you. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are none.
You missed the meeting minutes.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited. Number five, approval of minutes of previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, do you have an motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion. Virginia Mobley, I make a motion that we approve the minutes from the previous meeting of July 26, 2023.
Second?
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second that motion.
For the vote, Pam?
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Nutrica, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Motion passes. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are none, so we will move on to the continued agenda. These are items that have been continued, deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion we approve the continued agenda.
Pam Miller, I second that.
Robin Williams, approve.
Darren Bagley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Motion carries. Requests for extension being none, we'll move on to the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler-Brownville District, Streetcar District, and Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. Beginning with the first application on the regular agenda, the petition of Willett Construction and Design, 216 East Bolton Street, alterations and variance recommendation request.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for a rear stair addition and alterations for the property located at 216 East Bolton Street. The scope of work includes the removal of a deteriorated metal staircase and installation of a new rear yard deck and stairs. An existing historic window opening is proposed to be converted to a door opening to accommodate the stair configuration. The existing accent window and rear door openings will also be altered. However, staff believe these openings to be non-historic. New skylights are proposed. However, they are not visible from the public right of way. A wood picket fence to replace the current chain link fence is also proposed. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard regarding rear yard setbacks in Article 5 base zoning districts for TN1 building setbacks for blocks with contributing structures that reads rear yard 30-foot minimum setback to allow for a 23-foot 6 rear yard setback due to existing lot conditions. The historic building was constructed in 1897 and is a contributing resource within the Victorian Historic District. The scope of work is focused on the rear facade, which fronts East Gwinnett Lane. On East Gwinnett Lane, there are varied examples of different forms of rear yard egress. Some structures and buildings on the lane also have metal stairs, like what is being proposed to be removed. Others have wooden railings and stair configurations. This portion of East Gwinnett Lane stretches one block from Abercorn Street to Lincoln Street. Staff believes the door openings and the accent windows on the rear of the facade, just zoom in a little, are not historic and probably were added around the time that the metal stair was included. Staff has had discussions with the applicant addressing possible alternatives that could include stairs that would stay within the setback, but with the design necessary to be code compliant, it would not be possible. The existing metal stair on the rear is also within the required setback at 26 feet 2 inches. However, the existing stair does not have the building and life safety code required widths or landing sizes. To meet the current codes and to accommodate the stair run required to reach the first and second floor, the rear yard setback of 23 foot 6 inches is required to accomplish this. So just kind of show photos. And some elevations. This is just one side of the building. This is including the other side of this structure as well as the neighboring structure. So staff found, regarding the variance criteria, staff found that they are met for general consistency. The request is to accommodate a compliant egress stair that is required by building and life safety code. The proposed stairs and deck would be consistent with similar egress stairs within the block and throughout the Victorian district. This would not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. Special conditions and or circumstances. The circumstance in this case is that there must be an egress stair that is also code compliant, and it cannot be accomplished within the 30-foot required setback. The special conditions and or circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. These are existing conditions. For special conditions and circumstances to not be purely financial in nature, they are not the primary purpose of this request is safety. Literal interpretation, this variance would allow for the construction of a safe egress stair from the subject building for its occupants, which without this egress point would be an unreasonable hardship and would not meet the life safety code required. If the petitioner requests the reduction of the rear yard setback, believing this is the minimum variance necessary to accomplish the project, and special privilege is not granted, approval of this variance request would not confer any special privileges that would be denied to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff found that overall, the project is visually compatible with other rear egress stair configurations all along East Gwinnett Lane and other nearby lanes such as East Bolton Lane and meets the standards. Clearly, the rear yard setback is not met, but this is being addressed by the variance recommendation request and the drawings note. The spacing between the railings will be 5 inches on center. So to be in compliance, staff is recommending the applicant changes this to 4 inches or less on center. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request for alterations and new stair and deck addition at 216 East Bolton Street with the following condition: to be submitted to staff for final review and approval prior to starting the project, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Change the space between balusters on the railings from 5 inches on center to 4 inches on center, and recommend to approve the recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from Article 5 Base Zoning Districts, TN1 building setbacks for blocks with contributing structures that reads the rear yard 30-foot minimum, to allow for a 23-foot, 6-inch rear yard setback because the variance criteria are met. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
Rebecca Fenwick, did I hear you say you thought the 2/2 window that's going to be a door, you thought it wasn't original?
No, that's there's a configuration that we believe was put in place for the stairs. The metal stairs, which is this.
Yes, right. Okay.
For that, with the original window to a door, that was, staff found that was going to be minimally damaging to, like, the opening only would be extended slightly for that to accommodate the egress.
Can you go back to the rear elevation proposed? So they didn't want to repurpose that window. Is that like I guess that's a bathroom then where the transom is without a door?
I believe so. We can ask the petitioner, sure. But I believe that's the case.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Joseph Willett, petitioner for 216 East Bolton Street.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
I have.
Go ahead.
Virginia Mobley, what is the percentage of lot coverage with what you propose and the house?
It's less than 60%. I don't have the exact number with me right now.
Okay. And
that will be reviewed by the building department as well.
Okay, and the other thing is, in looking at the existing structure, on the first floor, where the door is and the windows next to it Mm-hmm. It appears that a larger structure was closed in. Do you know what that was originally?
I believe originally that was a recessed porch area within the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rebecca?
Yeah. I don't know if you heard my question earlier about the where the lone transom is.
Yes, those are bathrooms.
Bathrooms? Yeah. And there's no, like, I'm not sure how the bathroom's laid out, but would there be any interest in repurposing the window taken out from the corner?
Actually, we are going to repurpose it into another part of the building because we have a couple of windows that are completely rotted.
Okay.
So the sashes will be reused in the building.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Thank you.
Kathy Levina, I've got a question. The drawing suggests that the transom is entirely separate than the door. So like almost two separate units versus a continuous piece of, you know, casing down. Is that how you are in fact constructing them?
No, the window and the door, the transom unit and the door unit will be made as one
continuous.
Unit. Continuous. Yeah. And the trim will match that as well.
There's a solid piece of casing down.
Correct. Correct.
All right. Last question. Would you be offended if the transoms were single pane versus double? A divided transom? A single pane versus a divided pane?
No, I just thought it was more similar to the 2/2s.
I agree, but in this case, I feel it should be differentiated, but we'll talk about that.
Okay, sure. I'm not opposed to that at all.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? No. All right. We will now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Let's start with you, Robin.
Anticipating you've articulated your concern very much, but the transoms, especially the floating transoms, the small windows, I have no problem with them being divided or being single pane. I think I'm not too worried about the perception either way that it's going to be a false sense of history. I mean, they're new. I don't know. There might be other ways of doing it, but in some ways, I agree with the petitioner. It seems to be more integrated into the body of the building being divided. But I could go either way with that.
Dan?
I can go with Robin.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Kathy Levina, my concern. I just think to further differentiate the new from the old, if you were to simplify the design with a single pane transom, it would stand out as a new addition versus matching the historic 2/2 window. May?
I think that the new materials will personally distinguish it enough, so I wouldn't need the divider to be removed. However, I wouldn't die on that hill. That's it for me. Thanks.
Rebecca?
I don't feel strongly either way about the division and don't have any other comments.
Jeff?
Jeff Matariga, no additional comments.
Pam Miller, no additional comments.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say? Can we have a motion?
This is Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve the request for alterations in new stair and deck addition at 216 East Bolton with the following conditions articulated by staff. And in other words, as the petition was presented with the staff recommendation condition number one and recommend approval of the variance to Article 5.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Call for the motion. Robin?
Robin Williams, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
All right, motion passes. Congratulations. Thank you. Moving on to our second application, the petition of Haynes and Architects to 1201 Habersham Street after the fact railing.
Thank you. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting after the fact approval for an amendment to a previously approved COA for alterations to the property located at 1201 Habersham Street. The amendment includes a change to the design of the railing surrounding the outdoor spaces. This was the original railing design. You can see this linear metal railing here, horizontal cable railings, while the installed railings consist of a repeating abstract shape that you can see here. The railings are 42 inches high and constructed from metal. This is a non-contributing resource constructed circa 1949. Regarding visual compatibility and projections, entrances, porches, and other projections of the proposed building or structure shall be visually compatible with contributing buildings and structures to which it's visually related. The abstract railing is not visually compatible with visually related contributing buildings, which have linear railings, which tend to have linear railings. With regard to design standards, balusters shall be placed between upper and lower rails, and the distances between balusters shall not exceed 4 inches on center. Upper and lower rails are present. However, the abstract design does not allow for balusters. Staff is recommending after the fact denial for an amendment for the property located at 1201 Habersham Street because the railings are not visually compatible. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Terrific. Are there any questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. I'm Patrick Phelps with Hanson Architects, representing, just fitting as the applicant representing the owner today. I have some handouts. I know your computer's not. So the property that we are discussing today is 1201 Habersham. This is a non-contributing building within the Victorian District. I think the question was asked before. To date the building and talk about the progress of it, it was originally constructed between 1955 and 1959. That's when it showed up on the Sanborn maps. It was built as a filling station for Al and Jack Percy. And that section of the building is that you can see there's a little kind of arch here. So the original building started kind of just where the canopy extends out. That was the original service bay to the left. So those two doors, garage doors, have been restored to open up onto the dining patio. The right was offices, and then there was a subsequent addition that was put on in the 1970s and converted into commercial use. And I think that was probably the era that you see where the seafood restaurant at the top of the page operated. So currently the building, correct, has been renovated. Renovation started in 2018 and has been ongoing since. There was a couple of transitions of ownership. And with that renovation, the exterior facade was restuccoed and the dining porch was added on the front. This is actually the third application for the railing. The original application included a solid Ipe planter bench that was integrated along the front. So it would have, the original approved application would have had just a solid railing around the front of the building. And then reapplied for the horizontal pickets. And then, of course, the contractor and developer installed this subsequently and contacted us after the determination was that this was an after the fact improvement. So that's why we're here today. The Victorian District, as we all know, is about 45 city blocks, developed from the 1860s and 1920s. Neighborhood has prime examples of Second Empire and Queen Anne styles of architecture, but primarily stick and folk style buildings are what were built in the area. And a defining attribute of both of these are a variety of wood trims and decorative detailing. This detailing was made allowable by mass production of architectural components through new technologies like the scroll saw. And the result of these variations of railing types kind of transitioned us from vertical pickets from classical styles to more so panelized and mass production lattices that were put in and more ornate and ornamental in the Victorian district. And I've got just a few examples just within the 2-block radius of some of these panel examples. So we've got scroll cut that are more organic shaped, create more of a lattice, more solid than void. We've got solid panels. We get more geometric shapes with the ability to mass produce some of these panels. Even wrought iron was kind of brought in and create more organic shapes, more filigree. And again, different geometric shapes throughout the district are occurring. Going more ornate, more decorative detailing versus more of the classical periods that were more straight and linear. And sadly on the right, I think there's an example of, I think a lot of these more vertical pickets are replacements of railings that have been missing in the past, that we probably had a lot more decorative railings in this area previously, but for efficiency and economy probably have been replaced with vertical pickets. And even outside of the district, same area, time period that we see more ornate, decorative, and abstract railing types. So I think these aluminum panels that are installed around the covered porch, somewhat modern these patterns of the Victorian age. In addition, they're styled to emulate the mid-century era of what this gas station was constructed as. And it add a little bit of vibrancy to what was once a desolate corner. So I respectfully ask that you consider the approvally installed railings as a modern interpretation of lattice and panel railings found within the district and therefore visually compatible. And as a side note, I agree with staff kind of made the mention as far as ordinance requirements for especially commercial buildings, guardrails and railings is somewhat lacking, and that could be reviewed to put a little bit more information to inform designers and developers in the future. So available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Pam Miller, I have a question. They submitted two different railing designs, right? And was the same owner between the second and third, this last railing?
The initial submittal with the EPAY solid planter was the initial owner. The second owner, which is this applicant owner, submitted the ones with the horizontal pickets. So the one that was shown in the staff review earlier, pre-meeting, that was the one that was submitted.
No, it is the same owner.
Correct.
Just didn't submit for the change. Got you. Thank you.
I can't answer why.
Well, you just answered my question then. Do you know why they went from a design with the horizontal rails to this? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not aware. I mean, the only thing that I can think is
the owner didn't explain to you when they retained you.
No, they did not. One reason that I think they may have is that you can see that there is going to be parking out in front of the building and those photographs that are up on the screen. That was derived from the zoning that we went through prior. There was a certain number of parking spaces on the site, and those needed to be retained. So I think they wanted more definition between the parking and the dining area.
Kathy Ledvine, I have a question that is unrelated to the railing. Because this project was approved in 2018, do you need to screen the HVAC on the top of the roof?
There's actually screening within the plans.
Oh, there are. Okay. We're just not seeing it.
Correct.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to step forward?
No. Thank you.
No. All right. We will now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. We'll begin with Pam.
Again, I find it interesting that it's the same owner. I get the railing looks like slices of pizza, so maybe there was some intention of having it be decorative that way, but I I fail to understand why they didn't go for the third since he knew that they already had something approved. So I'm just concerned about that. That's all I have really to say about it.
Jeff Notariga, no comment.
Rebecca Fenwick, very compelling presentation. However, I tend to agree with staff. Thanks.
May Boley, yeah, this one is frustrating. I hate to ask somebody to go back and undo something like this, which probably was not super cheap. However, yes, and I do also agree that the presentation was really well, really well argued. Unfortunately, this is a great mood board to inspire the railing for the store. And I think that the chosen railing would fail to meet the design brief as presented, cause it's just too different. The cadence is off and it doesn't harken, unfortunately, to the sort of very symmetrical and, regular patterning that is in the neighborhood, even though it's got a lot of gorgeous variety. So to be too late to be brief, I think I would agree with Steph.
Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, being an old person around, when this was originally came up for conversation, the membership of the Victorian District was different, the leadership was, and it was a subject that was discussed. And the reason for the first approved railing or whatever you want to call it, since they were having parking in the front, was to deflect the car's lights shining into the patrons that were eating in the restaurant. So there was a purpose behind it. While I think this is an attractive design, I don't know how comfortable or enticing it's going to be to the customers.
All right. Kirsten Connor, I would like to echo what May Boley has said, and I agree with staff recommendations.
Darren Bagley, he's no comment.
And I want to echo my colleagues who complimented the petitioner for his presentation and, but point out that while the, stick style, Queen Anne, Eastlake, other residential styles of the Victorian period had elaborate and, as May Boley noted, symmetrical patterns, those are typical of a residential typology. And this is, this being a former gas station, I find it very interesting that the horizontal blue lines on this design, if the original railing were still intact, would evoke the geometry that the design is presenting. And it's a mid-century streamlined building, and putting this, for lack of a better word, very busy motif and looking to Queen Anne as a way to justify it. I mean, while those are the surrounding buildings, this building is so different from those other buildings to begin with. Anyway, so there's also internal compatibility of is the design appropriate for the building itself? And I don't find it such.
To continue the comment and discussion, Pam?
No further comment, Pam Miller.
Jeff Notariga, no further comments.
Rebecca Fenwick, no comment.
May Boley, no comment.
Kathy Labana, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Darren Bagley Heath, no comment.
Robin Williams, no further comment.
Great. Can we now entertain a motion? You please display your rights. A motion?
This is Pam Miller. I make a motion that we follow staff recommendation for after-the-fact denial for an amendment to a previously approved certificate of appropriateness for alteration to the property located at 1201 Habersham Street because the railings are not visually compatible.
Jeff Matarica, second it.
Thank you. To vote, Robin?
Robin Williams, approve.
Darren Bagley, he's approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Rebecca Felmick, approve.
Jeff Matarica, approve.
Pam Miller, approve. Motion passes. Thank you. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding the approved staff reviews? I'm going to read the list of staff approvals. Oh gosh, this is a big one. Acknowledgement and approval of staff approved petitions. Petition of William Willoughby, 222 East 32nd Street. Petition of Michael Neal, 615 West 35th Street. Petition of Hanson Architects, 510 East 32nd Street. Petition of Victor
Lesnick,
312 West 37th Street. Petition of Roof Crafters, 506 East Wahlberg Street. Petition of Thomas Smith, 1812 Abercorn Street. Petition of Marcia Lindsay, 22 East 37th Street. Board will now vote to acknowledge the approved staff reviews.
Rebecca Fenwick, I vote we acknowledge this approved staff reviews.
Robin Williams, second.
For the vote, Robin.
Robin Williams, approve.
Darren Bagley, he's approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments.
It's just the normal inspections report and stamps drawings report for the month.
Okay.
Nothing special.
Nothing special. Terrific. Moving on to other business then.
All right. So this is the text amendment, the next version of the text amendment that from last month that you all asked me to create. So I'll go over, this is Victorian. So I'll just go over the Victorian because it's the same. For Victoria and Kyler Cromville and Streetcar. I have all three of them in here though. So what we did based on our discussions is added under foundations, we also added previously unpainted masonry shall not be painted. Exterior walls, we added previously unpainted masonry, including chimneys and parapets shall not be painted. Under porches, stoops, balconies, and decks, we added previously unpainted masonry shall not be painted. Under roofs, previously unpainted masonry, including chimneys and parapets, shall not be painted. And then fencing and walls, previously unpainted historic masonry shall not be painted. And so those, that's the next update there. So what do we think?
So I have a question. You distinguish historic masonry on fences, but not on any of the other.
Right, because if you can see the other sections are divided under into contributing resources where fences are not. So that's why we did historic on that one.
Got it.
So and how the other ones are all divided into contributing resources.
Any further discussion? Rebecca?
Do you need a motion? What are you?
Yeah. I suppose we do. Do we need to, cause I know the HDBR wanted to look at this too. So I don't know if I wanted to see if you all were happy with this and then present this to them at the September meeting for their section. And then if they were happy with it, then get a vote from both y'all cause, you know, separately. for your sections.
Did you say this was only in the Victorian district?
No, I'm only showing you the Victorian district.
Oh, okay.
There's the Victorian. Here's Kyler Brownville. It's just exactly the same.
HDBR would deal with the downtown.
Right.
Got it.
Right. And then here's streetcar. And then we would have to do something similar for the downtown district for them.
What is the delay time in combining the two?
Well, let's see. I'd have to present this to them in September. And if they had any comments, then it would have to go to theirs at the next month, like it has for you all. So it could still be a couple more months, or you all could just take care of it yourself and it could go separately.
So really and truly, you're looking at the first of the year?
Probably.
If we move ahead on our own, what are you looking at?
That we could send this up to, well, I didn't give you a staff report this month because of this reason. Do I have to have a staff report to be able to send this to City Council?
You need to, yes, because you're recommending a change to the ordinance.
Okay.
So, yes, you need a staff report. And it would be better if they all went at the same time instead of in pieces so that they're consistent with one another.
So, okay. Lee, I have another question.
Yep.
What if you had unpainted masonry and someone wanted to stucco it? Stucco is different from paint. Should you be more comprehensive in the language here and should be shall not be painted, stuccoed, or otherwise covered?
I don't know.
Because you can clad it with siding, you could stucco it, you could paint it, you could do a number of things that would cover up the original brick.
Mm-hmm.
Or masonry.
But then if you went and were going to put stucco on something, wouldn't you need approval anyway, which you get denied because it wouldn't be historic?
Sorry, say that again.
So if you went and if somebody was going to planning on putting stucco over brick in on a historic building, they'd still have to come in front of the board.
Well, same with paint.
Well, before it was specific about paint. Yes, you're right. But they asked the question with the particular one we're referring to, which is the people that continued today, they said that it didn't specify about paint color, right? But stucco, you change the material. It's like changing the siding and saying, well, I'm going to put a party board, right?
Mm.
So it's now you're changing the material. Whereas paint, they asked the question, is there any particular paint color that we can't use? And the answer was no. So they just assumed they could paint over the brick without.
Okay.
And that's where it came up. Rather, you can't change the siding on your
right.
On your building without coming in, without an approval process.
And is there any coating, like, I don't know, German schmear or something that wouldn't be considered paint, but would have the same impact?
I think that would still have to come before you all too, as a change in material.
I just want to make sure that the word paint is comprehensive enough to cover everything you want to cover.
Yeah, I don't know. What does everybody think?
I'm happy to make the adjustment, but I don't want to add another month. So I would say, like, if we do that, my wish would be to, like, go forth and conquer, like, go ahead and just have HDBR also review those, like, comma this, comma that, all. I don't know that it needs to come back again to us. Or maybe it has to.
Would it have to?
Well, it sounds like it does regardless, but I could come back with a staff report for the next time if you all are ready. You know what I mean? So
but
in case
you're already, ready. Yeah, next month would be fine, right? Because you're going next month to HGBR as well.
Right.
That's not tacking on an additional month. But I think anything after that would be.
And anything you're coming back with next month is based upon HGBR's response, right?
Right.
So therefore, we would be responding to what they added or deleted and therefore moving forward with that. And then they would then approve it the following month with your staff report.
Right.
Meaning they would approve it in October and then, yeah, okay.
I have a question. I'm sure there are examples of when a person would get approved for covering their masonry, not with paint, right? Like say they want to stucco their building and that is the historic condition. theoretically we would approve that, maybe.
To put the stucco back on?
Yeah, right.
And I mean, that's never happened since I've been
there. But hypothetically.
Yeah.
Green Meldrum House.
Green Meldrum House was exposed brick.
Okay.
Back in the 90s.
Free me.
Sure. And it's now stucco.
Okay.
I'm just bringing up the point that if we were to say previously unpainted masonry shall not be painted or otherwise covered, that's not technically true, right? Okay, no, I guess it is because previously uncovered shall never be covered. There's never going to be a situation where if we were to make this line more comprehensive, I want to confirm that there's never going to be a situation where that comes into conflict with something that would otherwise be approved, right?
Isn't there a separate section for stucco?
No.
Not at all.
No.
No, we use the Secretary of the Interior standards when we reference stucco.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a building could have had the paint removed and was painted historically, and now they want to paint it again. Right? That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm trying to go through all the scenarios. Mm-hmm.
But that would be a previously painted building.
Previously painted.
So.
You're right.
Right.
So they would.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So to the point that as long as it's not delaying, I think I support the idea of just why not be a little bit more comprehensive, saying something like shall not be painted or otherwise covered. What do you guys think of that?
I think that's fine.
Maybe we have to say previously unpainted or otherwise covered masonry shall not be painted or otherwise covered. I mean, I know it's laborious, but. I do take the point, Robin. Yeah.
No ivy.
No ivy. Right. Well, right. So would that be a prohibited?
Well, like, plant matter is
technically not within our purview.
Yeah. Plant matter is not within our purview. Okay.
So minimum maintenance standard.
If they didn't want to ivy a building which was previously univied, they would be able to do that. Forgive me.
So, or otherwise covered. Let's make sure that that makes sense in each section. Shall not be painted or otherwise covered. Okay. Or otherwise covered. Or otherwise covered. Yep. That would make sense in each of the sections. Like, grammatically.
Are we all okay with that addition? Do we need to vote on it then?
You can't until you have a staff report is my understanding. Okay. So I will bring the staff report next month.
And can you just go over the timeline one more time?
So you all vote on it next month? When it comes
we'll bring it to the historic review
board. I'll bring it to them at the September meeting.
And then
with this language. With the or otherwise covered portion as well. And hopefully they're good with it the way it is and don't want to make more changes to it. And then you all, and so you would vote on it at the end of September then, and they would vote on it at the beginning of October.
And then it would go to
City Council at whenever City Council deems that they want to put it on their agenda after that.
Okay. Everybody
that would
good?
Be the hopeful.
Great.
Ambitious timeline.
I think it's a good addition. Is there an HPC special committee report?
Nope.
Okay. I think we can move on to adjournment. Thank you to everybody.
Rebecca Fenwick, I'm motion to adjourn.
Mabel, only second.
Petitioners, staff, board members, you offered your input today. The next HPC meeting will be held on September 27th. Right here at 3 p.m. in the Arthur Mendoza room. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting? The August 23rd HPC meeting.
Rebecca Fenwick, I motion we adjourn the meeting.
Mabel,
Jenny Mobley, second.
Adjourn.